Man, it's like we know each other's bodies.
What's that, bro? Freaking dude.
It is.
Son of a bitch.
Mind set to mic. Can you imagine what your life could be like?
Don't fucking worry about it, dude. I don't want to suck your tongue, bro. You don't fucking push up and I'm actually pounding a medium pizza and some chicken, but fucking Domino's.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, little babies. Wake up if it's the morning. Do whatever you want to do if it's the afternoon. Go to sleep if it's night. But then wake back up and listen to the podcast. Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Drew here, Mindset to Mike, episode number 4 coming at you.
Jimmy Savickovich over here on the other end in Akron, Ohio. Drew's still out there in Arizona. I'm trying to get him to move back, but it's not working real well because I have nothing to offer.
In due time. We never know.
In due time, baby. So this episode, we're going to talk about kind of entrepreneurship a little bit. Drew and I both are super interested in being entrepreneurs, and you can fully expect me to probably butcher that word a bunch of times through this, but we're not going
to
re-record
this. It's a tough
this.
One to say.
Yeah, you got to deal with it. They got R's all throughout that bad boy. They got E's everywhere. That's a tough one. Yep. So we're gonna we'll talk about entrepreneurship. We're both into stuff like that, Drew and I. And then we're gonna talk about Fly Life, which is a clothing line that we started a while back that did not pan out so well. But anyway, we'll get into that. First and foremost, I guess, Drew was just giving me shit before we started here because I just cracked open a Mountain Dew, like right as we were coming on the air here, and Drew's not a big
fan. On that sugar, on that sugar kick, bro.
So I
like we like, didn't just talk about the benefits of not.
I know, dude.
Sugar.
It was a weak decision, and I knew that when I got on here, you were gonna talk shit.
Oh, we cut back on our sugar in our house, super.
But I'm not in my house.
Work. Oh, well, that's true. I'm gonna save this clip and send it directly to Lucy.
Snitch, dude. Yeah. So, like, we have cut back big time for real. But I was like back there at the little snack shack we call it, and there's the fridge there, and I'm like looking in, and you know everything in there's 50 cents. So I'm like, let me get this water because that's healthy, and then I'm like, man, I haven't had anything today. No coffee, nothing. I've just been crazy busy. And actually, I don't even know that I need the Mountain Dew, but I was standing there and I seen it like a real addict. I'm sounding like a straight up addict, actually.
They got you, bro. Got you hooked, man.
They did. And then I grabbed the Mountain Dew diet for a second, and I was looking at the back. I was checking the fact sheet on the back of that bad boy. And it's like water. They don't have any, there's no sugar, there's no calories, there's no nothing in it. So I'm like, I'm not spending my money to drink that. There's nothing even in the can. It's probably empty.
Just bought an empty can.
So I just ended up grabbing the regular dew, cracked this joint, and I don't even know that I need it. I'm all fired up now. Just fucking getting on here talking got me all fired up.
Sometimes when you talk to your boy, man, it's just like a drug.
That's it, dude. So, Drew, what entrepreneur? Why do you want to do it? What's that mean to you? What do you think?
So I've been like super passionate about entrepreneurship in general, and always, obviously, we've been working on things throughout our adult lives to try and, you know, come up with something. But the biggest thing for me is you know, you have the opportunity to create your own wealth and generate, you know, income based on, you know, how much effort you put into something. And the way that really only works is if you're adding value to people's lives, which is something I'm very passionate about as well. You know, I want to be able to, whether it be some type of product or service to help people and whatever, to improve people's lives, I guess, at the end of the day, I think is huge. And we all have that opportunity is the thing. You know, it's just going through the appropriate steps and making it happen. And you know, you got to have a lot of passion, you know, and, you know, the networking that's involved is pretty cool. You know, you share ideas with people. You meet a lot of cool people. And you gotta have a specific mindset to be able to carry some of these tasks out. You know, you can't be afraid to fail, and you gotta get uncomfortable in order to grow.
For sure. You mentioned passion. I think that's really, really important. And we'll talk about that, I guess, when we get into fly life, but that's something that I've noticed in, you know, you mentioned that through our adult lives, we've tried all different kinds of things. Drew and I have both been very, entrepreneurial in our adult lives. And we've just tried a bunch of different stuff that none of it has really worked. But I think the shining thing from all that is that we've never done anything we were really passionate about, which is kind of what I think is cool about this podcast. But, you know, I've always been, everybody wants to be your own boss. I think that'd be ideal, right? If you could make a good living and be your own boss, that's awesome. But what's cool about it is, you know, for somebody like me, like I'm doing pretty well in my career, and I'm not like at a spot where I'm like, man, I hate going to work. You know, certainly I would like to have my own business and work on my own hours and all that, of course, but I'm not in a position where I'm trying to be an entrepreneur because I hate work. Like, I'm not trying to get out of what I'm currently doing. That's not the motivator behind it. The motivator behind it is just to do something I'm passionate about. So, right. You know, through time, I I've done all kinds of stuff. We did spray paint t-shirts for people in high school. I sold some janky bootleg shoes from China for a little while there, some bootleg clothes I was getting from China. At one point I was selling bootleg golf clubs on eBay, and that got turned upside down real quick. I was trying to hustle those and had them drop shipping straight from China. And I was putting on my eBay thing that I was, this is young and dumb, dude. I was putting on my eBay thing that, like my grandpa won it at a golf outing, and I already got a driver, so I'm selling it. Well, then it would show up at their house and it's got Chinese customs stickers all over the box. So then
newspaper stuffed in there.
Yeah, dude. So everybody's like, you know, we made a few grand in a couple of days selling all these clubs. And then all of a sudden people are messaging like, hey, wait a minute. Like, this, I thought you were in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. What's going on? So quickly eBay shut me down on that one. I don't know if they'll even let me back on.
That's the thing, too, with being an entrepreneur. Like, if you're fake, dude, or you're not like doing, like, you don't have the morals and the passion to do what you're trying to do, the market will certainly call your ass out, you know, and put you on blast, and it just will never work out for you.
Yeah, but if you're not being ethical, you're asking for trouble.
Exactly, dude. That's exactly right. Super important.
So fly life. So Drew and I, you know, I believe it, for real, it was Drew's. It was your idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we're might have been drinking Four Locos at your at your place over there in Springfield, and we just hopped on the computer. We were just talking because I don't know. You can go into the backstory where the fly thing even came from, because that was originated with you and a couple other guys. So you want to touch on that real quick?
Yeah, and so in high school, you know, everybody's got their clique in high school, right? And we, our clique of guys, we were known as the Fly Boys, right? That's what everybody called us. We, like, won the Best Friends Award thing in high school, all that fun stuff. We were, like, the group that dressed really well, and you know, we had parties. We were always partying, throwing parties, different stuff like that. So, anyway, everybody, we were always called the Fly Boys from everybody else, and the idea was just we were, you know, well-dressed and kind of stood out, I guess you could say. So that's how that started. And then you got Drew over here on the laptop poking around.
Yeah, so we just came across, like, we're just thinking, you know, what if we could use that brand that we established, you know, in the high school and the kind of the good old glory days.
Yeah.
And just turn that into some type of business model. And, you know, we're young, so we're thinking, like, let's just make money, right? Mm-hmm. That's all we were really worried about, is just a quick buck so we can just go do whatever we wanted to do. Probably buy more Four Locos.
Straight up. When they had the real stuff in them, though.
Yeah, where you could black out and die and shit.
Talk about sugar, dude. They had some sugar in there.
Oh,
they had meth in them, too, I heard one time.
Yeah, man, I get addicted real quick.
You do a Four Loko and sell it for days. Anyways,
we are not sponsored by Four Loko.
Hey, but Four Loko, if you want to sponsor us, what up?
Yeah, holler at us. Mindset to Mike at Gmail. So we were just, we came across the website. It was one of those kind of DIY t-shirt websites. So you could make a design and it was like made to order. So you could, you know, submit a design to the website portal and they would print it on a shirt and ship it to you or whatever. So we just did that with like, I don't know, we got like a handful of shirts for the group. And then we just see what people think, right? So we get all these shirts in and we're wearing them out on the weekends or to parties or whatever. And people were like really taken to it. So like, we people got something going them, on dude. Here.
Yeah, I remember I was at the liquor store and I had it on. I don't know why I remember this so vividly, but the girl at the counter was like, "Oh, I love your shirt. Like, where can I get one? Is there women's?" And I'm like, oh, okay, it's coming. And then like a dude in the liquor store overheard us. He came up, looked at the shirt. He's like, "Oh, hey, I got a flea market out in like so-and-so, Ohio. Come through and sell them. People will love them." And I'm like, man, I've had this thing on for like an hour, you know, and I'm already in these kind of conversations. So we were fired up at first. People were loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we definitely knew that there was potential. So then we kind of jump into like the business model that we thought of afterwards. We kind of broke it out into a couple different categories, what we did right, what we did wrong, and then what we learned from the experience. So what we did right, I think the promotion side of things and establishing a market and marketing, definitely we had some strong points there.
Absolutely.
Between all of us and, you know, the social media platform.
Yeah, that to me, that was our strong suit was the connections that everybody had, you know, with our group of friends that were involved. Like everybody knows everybody. Like that, we had a group of guys working on this project that know. I mean, literally everybody you could think of, from club promoters to, you know, to bar owners to LeBron James to, you know, principals. I mean, just everybody. We were connected to everybody. So that's something we absolutely did right. At one point, we actually went and talked to a high school marketing class about our business and like did a presentation for them at the high school we went to. But the connections thing, man, we definitely did that right. And to be honest, I don't know that we even leveraged that to its full potential.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, that could be a strength, and it was kind of on what we did wrong too. We didn't take advantage of a lot of things, but you know, to piggyback off of that, I mean, we even promoted an MGK show early on before he even blew up like he's today. He came to Akron and did a show, and we had our logo on the ticket sales and everything. So we certainly could have capitalized way more than we did, and I think just not knowing and being aware and being bold enough to just start making shit happen, you know.
Bold anyways, is a good word. We weren't aggressive enough with it, for sure.
Yeah. And as far as like the design and the quality, I think we did right. We've worked on that a lot and found like a local print shop that we worked with directly, and we went up there, did a tour of the facility, you know, worked on you know, how do we send designs to you and everything. So we did kind of the things on the back end really well too, as far as that goes. You know, we got the LLC in line, all the legality stuff. You know, we got a bank account set up, so we had everything like ready for go, and then that kind of rolls into where things went wrong for us. Our biggest mistake was probably not protecting the brand that we created, which was filing for a trademark. So we found.
You know what's funny? Hang on. So Drew and I, like, we put together these bullets of like a couple big topics that we want to talk about, right? And then we get on here and we do this, but we don't go through like point by point beforehand what we want to talk about. And you're going through this. First of all, we both, without talking to each other, when we're going to talk about Fly Life, want to talk about how it started, what we did right, what we did wrong, and some lessons we got from it. So that's funny. We both had that. And then literally my list here is what we did right, connections, designs, what we did wrong, trademark, copyright, and some more. It's like you're reading off my paper, you creep.
That's that synergy with your boy. You know?
Synergy. That's so funny you say that. Somebody just told me. Synergy. I was talking about synergy, and somebody just told me yesterday that we should talk about synergy on the podcast.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, we can definitely note that for something. I got another topic that we need to talk about, too. Anyway, kind of into that, but yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Moving on. So yeah, we didn't protect the brand like we should have. We found out a couple months after that we were really gaining some traction that there was another company. I don't know where this guy was, in New York or something.
New York, yeah.
That also had, he also had the Fly Life name. And he beat us to the punch in the trademark game, and we ended up getting a cease and desist letter.
Yeah. From, so what
his
happened?
Organization
shut us down. You know, when that, what we did so wrong there is we, and this goes for any business, man. We set up the LLC, the taxes, all that stuff, thinking like, you know, I remember thinking it's not going to blow up really quickly. You know, it's going to take some time. We're just some dudes in Akron. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't even have a website together totally yet where that you can order through. So we're like, it's going to take some time for it to really blow up, and we have to worry about trademark or copyright. And we were funding this stuff out of pocket. We didn't have any loan or anything like that. So we were just working, normal dudes, funding it out of our pocket. So we were thinking, you know, trademark's a little expensive. Copyright's a little expensive. Not, in the grand scheme of things, not expensive at all, actually. But
no.
We were putting that off. Like, we'll get to it. No need to do it right now. And that, what a mistake, because next thing you know, we're in Panama City Beach on spring break. We're putting stickers up. We're, you know, North Carolina, wherever we're at, we're putting stickers up. And our reach, because of our connections, while, you know, we just talked about how good it was, it bit us in the ass, because we started getting people, once the website got up, hitting our website from all over the country. And
we're like, deliver.
Yeah, we're like, what the hell is going on? Like, this is awesome. Everybody knows about us. This is tight. And then next thing you know, boom, somebody in New York found us. And I don't know if he had it up the same time as we did or what, but I would tell you that this dude on his website, when we got the cease and desist, I looked at his website and everything. He had like identical designs we did. He had, yeah. I mean, he was totally biting our stuff, but he'd done all the legal work. So unfortunately, yeah. What you can do is find something, you know, what he did was he found a clothing line that he liked that didn't have their shit together, copied it, got his shit together, and then sent a cease and desist. So sure, we probably could have paid a lawyer and try to prove that we were there first. Maybe, I don't even know we would have won, but we didn't have the money to do that either. So he just caught us slipping, as DMX would say.
Yeah. And you know, you're scared, like when back then you're scared to like go into debt and be all, that's the thing. We didn't go all in like we should have.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You know, we didn't manage inventory. We didn't, when we were ready to launch, we didn't have product. We got tons of inquiries about when can I get this? When can I get that? And we just didn't have product to deliver. And we wouldn't go into debt to be able to, you know, supply that.
That's right. We weren't passionate enough. We weren't passionate enough. If you're passionate enough about your business and what you're doing, then you put it all on the line. And we did not do that at all. We still wanted to have money to party and, you know, whatever the hell we were doing. We needed to go negative for real.
Yeah, and be all in when we just weren't, you know. And I think, you know, the communication between us two and the other partner wasn't probably the best either. That's what I feel like, you know, we're kind of on different pages along, you know, different portions of it.
Yeah, I have here that we needed to just work. And it kind of goes into that communication, because we would have meetings and stuff. And mind you, we were still really young, but we'd have meetings and stuff, and we'd get some done. We'd accomplish a little bit. But then next thing you know, like, we're drinking, we got music on, and it's a party all of a sudden. Or, you know, we would meet and not, we would just BS the whole time and never really get anything accomplished. When, like, now that we're older, you know, I know how a meeting is supposed to run. You know, we know what. You have an agenda, you have topics, you know, you deal with them until you come up with an answer, blah, blah, blah. But we just wasted a ton of time just being young and dumb and BSing rather than work. We didn't work. There was only, I can count on one hand, the amount of times we actually were together for more than, you know, an hour or two. And we're actually like, you need to be like working. You need to be arguing, especially in a business with as many people as we had involved. The core group was three, but I can only count on a couple of hands where we actually had like a positive argument about like design or this or, you know, the supply chain of it. And that stuff's got to happen more. You got to be passionately pissed off about stuff and be that deep into it that you can that you're invested enough that you're going to argue and you want to put together a productive meeting and you want answers and you want to keep the ball rolling. We were way too lackadaisical, and like next thing you know, we're four locos deep.
Right, we're trying to live the party life before we even have, you know, establish any answers or
that's right
whatever. Another thing that comes to mind that I think we did wrong was we tried to be experts where we're just not, right? So, you know, we invested in, you know, Adobe software, like we can do our own designs.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was a pretty big expense. You know, we're trying to lowball people to get some type of a website going, or, you know, asking for favors and stuff like that. And it's like the money that we spent doing that and the time that we wasted when we could have just paid a professional, you know, to come up with right? So we just need someone to put it in the right format for us. So it's not like they're doing all the work. It's just, we need someone that's an expert that could, you know, create this design that we have vision in a matter of, literally a lot of it was a matter of, you know, an hour or so that they could, the work that you'd be paying a professional to do. So I think knowing now that, I would like to see us be able to utilize other people and their resources that are experts in their specific, you know, segment or whatever.
Sure.
We just tried to do too much ourselves, yeah, which was part of the problem.
And when you think back, how flawed was our thinking where, you know, we're a group of dudes who can't meet for more than an hour and stay focused on task. Like we're already that right. Not passionate about it, that we went out and bought a camera, Adobe, you know, rented an office for a minute. We did all this stuff and like, we were going to devote the time to learn that stuff. We couldn't even devote the time to, you know, have a productive meeting. So that was a goofy call, but I totally agree that, you, in the beginning, farm it out, man. You don't, of course it makes sense to do it on your own in the long run. You save in that cost, you bring that cost in house, but not in the beginning. I mean, we were such in the beginning stages. Farm it out, have somebody do it right. So your brand is established before you start, you know, tinkering with that. You got to have your brand right. You got to have pay some professionals in the beginning.
Yeah, and even if you look hard enough, like there's a lot of like we're coming up with a couple creative people that we could have utilized, you know, that were doing photography or video stuff, and you know, it wouldn't have cost us that much money, and we would have been like a collaboration effort. You know, they'd gain experience on working with us, and you know, we'd have their expertise on their side too. So it's like there's people probably close to you that you know that would be willing to work with you to save you money, but they are true experts and have a passion for that specific part of the business. You got to be willing to let that go, and you don't have to have control of everything or do everything yourself. Get people involved where you're not strong.
Absolutely.
It just makes sense, you know.
Another fail we had was this is I'm going deep here, but when we set up the LLC, I don't know if we weren't paying attention or what, and I mean, I can certainly take the heat for this, but we were set up to pay taxes monthly, which is like, like, why would you ever do that, right? So you have the choice of like monthly, quarterly, biannually, annually, I believe, and so next thing you know, I was just under the impression we were filing taxes normally every year. Next thing you know, we're like 6 months in and or 3 months in or whatever it was. And we didn't have a ton of income to report. But I get on there to like just to look and like see what the website's all about. And it's like, oh, by the way, you owe us $600 because you haven't filed taxes in 3 months. I'm like, what? So there went more money that could have went to something else just because we weren't paying attention. We weren't, you know, we didn't have all our ducks in a row. But you know, we learned a lot from that, man. And one of the biggest things the two biggest things for me that we learned from that is to, get first and foremost, be legal, get your paperwork right. Because you have nothing if you don't have that. And it sounds like an exaggeration, but it's not. We had this, you know, exciting, almost thriving website, clothing line that people love. We were throwing parties, but at the end of the day, we didn't have anything. Some other dude did, you know, he jumped in and took it because we didn't take that little step. So you can, in the drop of a dime, have have your business taken from you. You got to get your paperwork right. And then the other piece is you got to work and be passionate about it, man. And I, you know, going into that, I thought that was something we'd be passionate about. It just proved that we really weren't. And
we were passionate about what we thought we could get from it.
That's right. That's right.
I guess, you know,
passionate about the results. With the
minimal effort.
Yeah. But if you're passionate,
you don't realize.
Yeah. If you do what you're passionate about, then all the things we just talked about, you're willing to go all in, you're willing to go into debt, you're willing to, you know, sign for a loan, put your house on the line. And then if you're willing to do all that, you're going to be willing to work, and all that work, you know, pays off. There's no unproductive meetings because you're all in. And we were not all in. So in my mind, you got to find something you're passionate about. Going into business with doing something that, you know, is kind of meaningless to you, I just don't think, and from our experience, I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just definitely being more aggressive and taking advantage of opportunity. You can't put stuff off, which is what we did in a lot of cases, where just showing up and making things happen, you know, whether it's uncomfortable or not, just getting after it. And we just kind of put things on the back burner, and it kind of bit us in the ass in the long run.
Yeah, so that doesn't mean we're stopping, though. We're going to keep – that's something we're both really passionate about, is eventually, you know, being entrepreneurs, having a successful business. And we're going to keep going for sure. This podcast is one of them. And but what's cool about this – and, you know, I won't speak for you, but I just like doing it. Like I said, you guys are going to have to just quit listening, because we're going to keep making these bad boys. I'm having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy it. I mean, it kind of, you know, we hold each other accountable. Plus, we get to discuss topics, and we can all, we're just constantly growing and learning, you know, from each other. And some of the content that we bring in, I think it expands our minds and open up doors for us going forward.
So that's Fly Life. I was thinking like of calling it like the Fly Life fail, but really we didn't. I mean, we learned a lot from that. And I mean, we had fun doing it, obviously. Of course, I'd love to be some ballin', you know, owner of some clothing line, but you know, actually it's funny thinking about that right now. I would not want to do that, dude. Be at like clothing premieres and stuff. I'm just not into it. I guess it works that it didn't work out, because I don't know how that would have went. I certainly wasn't passionate about it now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the thing though with businesses too. If you establish a business, maybe it was something that you're interested in and you're real passionate about in the beginning, and then you're just not feeling it. But if you establish a well put together business, someone's probably willing to buy it from you.
Right.
There's a lot of millionaires made just from making a business and selling them.
Yep. Crossing your T's and dotting your I's is the baseline for that.
Yep.
So that's Fly Life, man. It wasn't a fail, but that was like our biggest, I would say, business attempt that did not work out. You know, some stuff we learned from it.
But I think that overall experience got me hungry for, you know, to continue to try and, you know, come up with some type of a business idea and keep the entrepreneurial mindset going that sparked all of this, you know, that we're
absolutely
today.
Yeah. So other than that, I would say, is there anything from the book, that Own the Day Own Your Life book, that you feel like you wanted to talk about? Where, I don't know where you're at in it, probably a little farther than me.
Actually, maybe some portion of the training part, I think, was pretty valuable. There's a whole chapter on training and stuff, and just getting your body involved in the right movements that you should be doing to get the most benefit, you know, what, and not just doing like weights and stuff, but incorporating cardio, strength training, you know, and endurance related, and mobility is probably one of the biggest things that a lot of people don't do that they should be doing, stretching and mobility stuff. Because you can lift all you want, get these big old arms and stuff, and then you're super tight, and you can't really, you know, it causes a lot of damage, a lot of tension in your body. So being strong and flexible is the way to go.
Yeah, speaking of,
give like a bunch of
go ahead,
recommended exercises and stuff like that, that are like key to targeted exercises for each specific category.
Do you have a kettlebell?
I do.
Do you like it?
That's one of my favorite movements, dude. Yeah, because you activate a lot of the body, and there's I don't know, tons of different types of workouts that you can do to work every single part of your body, improve mobility and strength, of course. Because you're activating, like when you lift a kettlebell, because it's kind of odd, right? So you're activating like tons of muscles, like in your core specifically, when you're lifting overhead or you're doing some type of other movement like kettlebell swings or stuff like that. And I use it every day, dude. That's kind of my go-to morning routine. Is grab that thing after I get my water and hydrate. I'll grab that bad boy and swing it around and get the body loosened up, and it activates and fires a lot of muscles.
I think I'm going to snag one of those. I'm going to buy one. I like the idea of it. I like that it's compared to a dumbbell or a barbell, it's off balance a little bit, so it engages all those other muscles. I'm going to get one of those and try it.
Yeah, I think they pound, so you should be good.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're getting at with that. I feel like I feel slighted a little bit. I got a lot of feelings going on about what you just said, but I think I'm gonna get one. I gotta do some kind of like lifting. I mean, I'm svelte, like I said, normally chiseled, but
yeah.
I'm starting to be chiseled a little bit differently. Like chiseled like shirt at the beach chiseled.
Ooh.
And that's not good. Nobody wants a shirt at the beach. What about yoga, meditation, any of that? Do you do any of that at all? Because I'm super interested in
it.
Yeah,
I try.
I'm listening to a few podcasts about it, and I'm going to start this weekend. Not this weekend, tomorrow, with a little bit of meditation and some stretching and yoga type things. Because I'm a tight dude. I'm toy like a toy. But
toy like a toy.
I can't even touch I'm the most unflexible human being. I can't touch my toes. I can't do nothing, and I'm 30 years old, so I got to start stretching out. But the meditation piece, I think, is incredibly important. I want to do both of those. Is there anything you do like that yet, or are you interested in that?
Yeah, actually, I just started this new, 6-week program that this guy recommends, Aubrey Marcus recommends. It's through one of his programs at Onnit. And it's all body weight related, and there's a section of it. So it's broken out into every day of the week you do a series of exercises. And one of those series is yoga. And so I've done yoga in the past, you know, and never really was like, whatever, it's just yoga. But if you do it right, dude, it's really hard, man. You would definitely increase your flexibility for sure. And just like holding poses, like you're activating so many muscles, like you're like standing there, like not moving, but you're like pouring sweat, dude. It's kind of crazy how much of a workout it actually is. It's not easy either. And some of the movements are very hard. And like, I gotta like stop, I'm like, cause I just can't hold myself like that for that long yet. You know, it's
too much weight.
It takes a lot to, that's too much. I'm trying to drop shed some of these LBs.
That's why, man. I'm so little. So I get yoga.
There you go, man. But it's really tough, man. I would definitely recommend it though, because it works, you know, the whole body, and you know, you open up some tight spots. I have a lot. I didn't realize how tight a lot of my joints and stuff were, and how inflexible I was. And, like my shoulders are like terrible flexibility in my shoulders and my hips. But this will definitely work that out. And I just this past week that I've done it a full week, dude, I feel great. It's awesome. The whole workout in general, I think, is pretty cool. And there's a lot of agility training and, like, you know, speed and repetitions, and it's all body weight. So it's not like you can really overwork yourself in a sense, because if you can't lift your body, then you're just not – it's not going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So you can push yourself pretty hard with the minimal risk of injury of some sort. And it works total body.
Yeah, I was listening to I'm going to post a clip from this on the page too. I was listening to the David Goggins interview on Joe Rogan's podcast. You listened to that too, didn't you?
Yeah.
And so this dude, David Goggins, is he was, for lack of better words, he was just like a fat loser, right, when he was young. And his life was crazy. I mean, he experienced victim of racism and you know, his dad was like a pimp and like beat his mom and him, and like a horrible upbringing, right? And he was just like this lazy, fat milkshakes every day, not doing anything, man. And one day he had seen a documentary of Hell Week on Discovery Channel while he was drinking his milkshake. And he decided that he was going to do that. He was going to be a Navy SEAL, but he was 300 pounds, 6'1", 300 pounds. So kind of a tall task. But what I think is super interesting that he did is what he did was – his name is David Goggins. He created this character in his head just called Goggins that is like this supreme badass, Navy SEAL, like does all this crazy stuff. And he created this character in his head, and then he just started living as that guy. Right. It sounds kind of wacky, like split personality type stuff, but it wasn't. It was like goal setting at its highest form. So he's going to be this guy. So he tries to go for a run. He can only run a quarter mile because he was so out of shape. And then he's like, man, he wants to quit because that's what everybody does. You quit. When things get hard, you quit. And but this dude, you can listen to it for yourself. But at the end of it, I mean, he's a Navy SEAL. He did Hell Week 3 times in 1 year. He's like the only guy to ever do that. World record for pull-ups. The dude runs these ultra marathons, 100 plus miles in a marathon. And the first one he ran, he hadn't ran before, like in any kind of marathon. Runs one, 70 miles in, he's got 2 broken feet and he's covered in poop. He crapped himself and couldn't control it. Runs another 31 miles with broken feet and covered in poop. So that shows you like the determination that this dude's got. And then you look at this span of like 6 months, he ran like, he was running like 100-mile ultra marathon every week through this time. It's unbelievable. The guy's like incredible to listen to.
Yeah.
Super motivational. I'm going to post a little video from that podcast, actually, that he just talks about, being a quitter and how that sticks with you if you quit. And if that don't get you fired up, I don't know what will. But I listened to that yesterday, and I've been just pumped ever since.
Yeah. One thing that stuck out with me with that is the power of the mind. You know, he mentions that he calls it like what the 40% rule, like your body and your mind will give up 40%, you know, at 40% when you realistically you have 60% left in you, you know.
Yeah.
Like this dude's got broken feet and you know, his mind's like, you're done, dude, but he can change. His body's still capable to keep going. Obviously he did it. But so your mind will be first to quick to shut you down if you let it. But when in reality, like you're physically capable if you can get the mindset to continue to push forward. I'm not telling you to go out and break your feet and shit and run, but you know, just apply that with simple things that you in the day to day, like
the cold shower.
You probably just overcome that. It's not that difficult once you get moving, and then you create that mindset, and it becomes easier and easier to do.
Yeah, he was doing it in an extreme sense, obviously, with broken feet and stuff like that. But it's literally the same decision-making process as the cold shower. It gets a little cold, your mind says, get out, or even before you do. He got to 70 miles, his mind is saying, I can't do it anymore. You just say, no, screw it, I can, and you do it. And, you know, if you don't, and then you can access that other 60%. And if you don't do it, then you just quit, and then that's fine. But you just got to deal with that forever. When you think back, then I gave up on that; I couldn't do it. But if you can override that mind, and then you can do anything. And that's why the mindset is so important. Which I guess is why we're doing this anyway.
And how powerful! Like we all have the same ability with that mindset goes. You know.
Yeah. Crazy. But so that's I don't really have anything from the book. He's got a big thing in here on napping, and I just can't nap. I can't do it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just cannot nap. I lay there and then my brain just starts going crazy.
Some of the most successful people, like presidents, like George Washington, all of them like napped. That was there, and they say napping actually, just studies have shown that a nap is better than a cup of coffee.
Yeah. The binaural power nap, he calls it. The thing with that, in my opinion, though, is, I mean, it's everybody's different. They got different things going on. I mean, not only can I physically not nap, well, maybe if I meditate or something, I'd be able to calm my mind down enough to nap. But I couldn't fit in a nap in my schedule because with Elliot, 8-month-old son, you know, I'm at work and part of it he talks about in here is like after lunch, take a quick nap. I can't do that. I could try to nap on lunch, yeah. I guess, but it doesn't really fit in my lifestyle, I guess. So that's one I'm not going to be able to, and I hate saying that because it feels like an excuse, but then, I mean, I just, you know, when I'm off, I got my kid, I cannot fit a nap in. But in place of that, I'm going to insert some meditation. So I'm at least calming my mind and resetting things.
Yeah. I mean, that could be just as beneficial. You don't really have to, I mean, you only get true benefit of sleep at this. I don't remember what, how many minutes in that it is to where you're actually, your body really shuts down. But if you're able to calm your mind and kind of reset things, that's almost just as good if you only have a, you know, 10, 15 minutes window to work with.
Yeah, so we're talking about that positive mindset, right, and keeping over the mental override. But in a couple episodes ago, we talked about just remaining positive and, like, you know, bad things happen. They steal your Fig Newtons. There's nothing you can do about it. Get over it, right? So yesterday, I'm on the way to work, and Route 8 North, like, stop-and-go traffic, driving, but not very fast, and boom, I get rear-ended. 7:30 in the morning. Literally at the beginning of the day, it's raining. I get rear-ended by some chick in like a 95 F-150. And I'm like, oh man, it scared the crap out of me at first. Cause I thought I hit somebody like in front of me. And, cause I don't know, I may or may not have been posting on Facebook on the Mindset, the page while I was driving. But, so I thought I hit somebody in front of me and I'm like, man, look back. She hit me. We get out. It's the pouring rain. We're talking in the pouring rain. And I don't like to judge people, but she was for sure on meth or like heroin or something. She was a mess, this chick. I mean, she was like covered in scabs. She had these like white globs of stuff on her face. I don't know if it was medication or what, but she's like flicking them off of her face while we were talking. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it was like, oh, so I'm like, just give me your information and I'm getting out of here. So get back in the car. So anyway, my car's okay. Well, I got to take it to the shop, but there's like no damage that you can see. It's driving okay. But anyway, I was just thinking when I was at work about I got to work and I'm fine. It is what it is. I'm going on with my day. I'm still like being pleasant and productive, and because it's over, there's absolutely nothing I can do to change what happened. So, you know, I was just thinking about the impact that could have on some people. Oh, my bad. That was my work phone going off there in the background. But the impact that could have on some people, and especially the timing of the day, that happened on my way to work, that would totally shut people's day down.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love this topic, man. We could touch on this every episode, and I'd be totally cool with that. It's the simple things or uncontrollable things that can happen to people that they allow to change their, I don't know, the perception of how their day is going to go. Or then they, you know, kind of victimize themselves. Like, why would this only this would happen to me? Like,
yeah,
there's tons of other bad shit happening to a lot of people, you know? Yeah. So you're not the only one that's just unfortunate today. But at the end of the day, like, okay, so you are a victim in a sense to, you know, a circumstance that you had no control over. So why let it tear you down the rest of the day? You know, I'm going to be late to work. Well, okay. Well, if your work rear-ended, then that's not a place I would want to work either. So I wouldn't even worry about that. If you're
right.
Subordinates won't support, you know, you just got in an accident that, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, maybe you need to consider where you're working too or whatever, but.
Yeah. But that was just, I was just thinking really hard about how, like, you know, we talk about this, but I'm glad that I'm living like that, I guess, because that could have totally wrecked my day, week, you know what I mean? But because I practice what I'm preaching here about the positive mindset and stoicism, it's like, it happened. Now I just got to keep moving. What's next? You know, I'm not going to let that affect other areas of my life. So I'm glad that actually, like, practicing what we preach on here a little bit paid off.
Yeah, for sure.
So you can get hit by a meth head any point. Day you want, baby, and then you're good.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, it does not matter.
What do you got, man? You got anything else you want to talk about here? Or are we done?
I think that's it for today.
All right, we're going to get back at you guys. We're going to start this 15-minute Friday thing and post the quick little podcast for Fridays. in addition to this one that we do every week. So we're going to up it a little bit. You'll hear from us twice a week. We're going to be RDR a little more active on the social medias. So major thank you, major thank you to everybody who's been listening, been getting a ton of feedback from people. And that's cool, man. I'm glad people are listening. You know, I said we were going to do this whether you listen or not, and we are, but it is cool to know people are listening and like what we're doing. So we're going to keep at it. And even success story, Ray Smalley from episode one, who was like the hater, actually got back to us. He's listening. So what up, Ray? Thank you for switching sides, no longer sipping the haterade out of the straw. And for sure. we converted him. So if it can be done, man, just listen, check us out, and share, please. Like, share, comment. Let's get it out there. I want people to listen and get something from what we're talking about.
Yeah, we really appreciate the support. And, of course, you know, positive or negative, we want to hear it all, that we want to continue to grow and provide, you know, more and more content, you know, better content for you guys that you would like to hear us talk about or get our opinions on. We're happy to do that as well. So the more you get involved, the more we'll get involved with you. So just feel free to reach out. You can find me at the Entrepreneur on the Instagrams, Andrew Castle on the Facebooks.
Mindset to Mike on both of them bad boys, Facebook, Instagram. We got the SoundCloud up now, so you can listen to this thing everywhere almost. And then I'm Jimmy Savickovich, obviously, Facebook, Instagram. I keep saying I'm going to make a separate account, but I am procrastinating. So by the end of this, eventually I'm going to be a different dude. I'm going to make a Goggins, Jimmy Goggins, and I'm just going to not procrastinate about things anymore.
That's that Mountain Dew, man.
That's it. I only took a couple sips so far, man. I don't even need this. I might just pour it on my head. Soak it in. Get some sugar in the receptors.
Right on. Well, anyway, all right, everybody.
Yep. Have a good day. Have a good night. Have a good whatever the hell you're doing. And be positive. Be positive. Be positive. And just fucking kill it, man. Do cool stuff.
Yeah. Stay productive and get shit done.
Later.